I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Publics Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a roll call, please.
Reba.
Here.
Joel.
Here.
Torres.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Valentine.
Here.
Hagan.
Here.
Boyd.
Here. First up, we have a proclamation that I'd like to read. It is for Arbor Day Proclamation. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, and whereas as this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce life-giving oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife, and whereas trees are a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products, and whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community, and whereas trees, whenever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal, now, therefore, I, Scott McDonald, Mayor of the City of Washington Borough, do hereby proclaim April 29, 2011, as Arbor Day in the City of Washington Borough, and I urge all citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands. And further, I urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the heart and promote the well-being of this and future generations. Next up, we have our freeholder representative, Mr. Everett Chamberlain, is here. Mr. Chamberlain, you brought Mr. Houck with you.
It's a pleasure to be here tonight. I thank you for the invitation. I understand you have some questions about county finances, and I brought Chief Financial Officer Dean Houck with me tonight. There's something I can't answer, and I brought my best friend and advisor, my wife, Julian.
Welcome.
I don't know how you want to do this, but like a town hall meeting, or
I did send you some questions in the email. I assume you received them.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to start off by addressing them, and we can go from there?
Well, why don't whoever sent the questions, why don't they ask them, and
okay.
I didn't memorize them.
Okay.
Well,
I'll
just take them
one.
You want to start?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Director Fielder. I had the first question, and this may have been asked of the freeholders a few times in the past, but I was asking about if the Borough of Washington doesn't have any county roads in our within our limits, and we are paying taxes to the County of Warren for road upkeep. Am I understand that? What is the direct impact that the county is offering the borough as far as road upkeep? You know, I understand that the county roads are utilized by all residents, but as far as us, our impact is we have to take care of our roads throughout the borough, whereas if the county had some county roads in the borough, that could lessen our responsibilities and lessen the burden to our DPW. So I actually had two parts to that. Is that one there about the how is it calculated on our county taxes for road maintenance that the borough has no roads inside its limits? And secondly, is there an opportunity that the county could take over roads in the future of the borough?
Well, I think answering the second part of your question, number one, if there was connecting roads within the borough that connected major corridors of travel, you know, that would be something the borough should petition the freeholder board on. But if there are no, you know, major connecting roads, then, you know, I don't see the county assuming the responsibility of maintenance of borough roads. As far as the calculation of, you know, for road maintenance. It's based on the county assessment, and we have a budget. This year we have, what, seven, for basically roads, bridges, and drainage on the county highways. And I think then we have capital projects, and they're all basically assessed according to all county taxes and as part of the county budget. And I, you know, as far as, you know, being you don't have any county roads within the borough, I'm sure borough residents ride on county roads. So they utilize those interconnecting roads. If, I don't know, any of you been to Belvedere?
Oh, yeah,
you can't get to Belvedere unless you ride on a county road. So, you know, they provide avenues of transportation throughout the county, and that's the county's responsibility. It's the responsibility of all residents to basically keep those roads open.
Yeah, I looked on the county, the budget, and if I'm wrong, it's for road resurfacing $1.2 million and road and drainage improvements, 1.5 is what you had on the budget on that. So
that's just capital improvements, and we have the road maintenance, we have, you know, purchase of vehicles and so forth, so it's more than that.
Yeah, okay. So what I'm hearing is there could be an opportunity if any of our roads, like Prospect Street, intersects with a county road, there might be an opportunity?
If it's a major corridor, connecting corridor, I'm not sure where Prospect Street is, but if it just is utilized by residents in Washington Borough, I don't see that, you know, I'm not sure where Prospect Street is.
Belvedere Avenue would be a good example.
Or Belvedere Avenue.
Well, when you refer to a major corridor.
That would, you can petition the Freehold, the board would have to look at it. We would probably do a study there to see where the traffic is coming from, where it's going. Or there might be, we've done this in other municipalities where we do have interconnecting roads and they do belong to municipalities. We've had roads within that municipality that really were not connecting roads, but we've swapped roads. Okay, swapped jurisdiction over those roads. So, you know, we have done these things in the past.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I have a question. Yep. This is news to interesting to me about the roads. So basically, the taxes that we pay for the county road repair does not necessarily pertain to roads that are within the borough themselves, but within the county, because Washington Borough is part of the county, borough residents also use other county roads. So is that way it's treated?
Correct.
Okay.
And you could say absolutely that no borough residents ever have or ever will ride on a county road, then mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you...
So whether you have county roads in your borough, it's not the issue. The issue is that you're paying for the maintenance and the use of county roads throughout the county in which you live.
And that'll lead me to the next, if you're finished, two questions I have here, too, which actually these first four, I wrote them up. I'll read the question to you to make it easier. I have noticed several county roads in the area have been repaved or resurfaced recently. These examples are Port Murray Road, Brass Castle Road, and sections of Ashbury-Anderson Road. These roads, in my opinion, appear to be relatively good condition. Were county funds used to resurface or repave them, and why? If so, are these funds not used in more important projects? And what I'm getting at is I've seen a few roads in the area. I've traveled the county. I know the county pretty well. These roads are really relatively good condition. I don't know why they're resurfaced, re-storm drained, or repaved, but there's bigger projects such as the 519-57 intersection in the county that need to be looked at. Other things like that, as far as even as a rebate towards the borough residents that may use those roads, you know. That was one of my questions regarding the roads.
Did you have another part of the question?
Yep, that was it.
Well, we have an engineering department
mm-hmm.
has a schedule that they follow.
Okay.
And they have a capital budget that they follow.
Okay.
This past year, they had some of that stimulus money, so we did a little bit more than
mm-hmm.
We have done in the past. But everything is laid out on a plan over 5 years. And when the bridges, what bridges and the capital costs, when they will be scheduled for maintenance or construction, and we take the worst first.
Right.
And we build that out over a 5 to 10 year period.
Mm-hmm.
The same way with the roads, resurfacing.
Right.
Okay, we're on a scheduled repaving or, chipping and oiling.
Mm-hmm.
And drainage is also based on that. I'll give these to the mayor and copy them and give them out. But this kind of outlines the schedule that we follow on the maintenance of our county roads. Let me give it to the mayor.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah.
All right, and then that gives a time frame and so forth. So it is a scheduled repair.
Right.
And I'm not an expert on...
I'm not either. I just happen to...
I don't know if you are either.
No, I am not, but...
So for me to say, this road is good, let's not touch it, may or may not be true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But when we talk about the borough...
I have to rely on the expertise of our engineering department.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they put out devices that measure the traffic on those roads. They do inspection on those roads.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're repaved because we had to do a drainage project.
Right.
I don't know if that was the case.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because that, in some cases, requires additional work and disturbance in the particular area.
Right. Okay. You can see where I'm coming from as a taxpayer, because we do utilize county roads, whether we have them in our jurisdiction or not. That would be a concern of mine. Second question is not a road question. I don't know if you want to continue on road questions. Anybody have any more? Anything pertaining to roads?
Well, okay. Yeah, I guess I do. Thank you, Everett. Maybe you can answer this. You probably do have some sort of shared service agreement for roads. I mean, maybe not. But maybe that could be something that could be discussed, especially, you know, with using maybe county, maintenance or labor for borough purposes or, you know, throughout the county. You know, I don't know if that's set up at all, if there's any...
We have a lot of equipment. We do have a schedule that was sent to the borough, sent to all the municipalities, that outlines the equipment that's available, outlines the cost. We're not... I've been around equipment all my life. And, when you loan equipment out, it never comes back in the same condition. So we have a cost to it. We provide the operator, we provide them. But the borough, if you don't have a list, I have a list of all that equipment. Some of the things. And,
I know, I've seen that list, so I believe we do have it someplace.
And then there's a price per hour on it. And, you know, that could be, you know, if you don't want
negotiated?
To maintain a, pardon me?
Negotiated, I thought you were going to say.
No, it's price per hour.
Okay, I don't know.
And it's basically our price. But, there's equipment. We started this because of some of the DEP rules with clean out of the drains and so forth, so everybody didn't have to buy a vacuum truck and things like this. And, you know, we have an extensive list of equipment and that would be available, and, you know, on an hourly basis, and, you know, it'd have to be scheduled and so forth. But I think you have.
I believe the manager has it. I know I've seen it.
So that is available and can hopefully save the municipalities some cost on some of the equipment that they normally one year's year-round on a periodic basis.
Well, let me just refer then to the manager for a second. Did you utilize, you know, county equipment or labor last year?
We didn't need to use it last year. We did everything in-house. We didn't have the place.
So you looked into that, though. You certainly did.
I have to look down, sir.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you.
I'll ask my next question then, off the road subject. Can we expect more from our county sheriff's department in the future as far as police coverage? And what I'm getting at is here whether or not we can use it for a municipality such as Washington to be more competitive and cost effective. Can we expect expansion of policing services from the Sheriff's Department in the future similar to other counties have in the state? Now, I'm sure you understand that we just had a recent, they call a merger, I call the takeover of our police department, but if it would be possible in the future. In my opinion. But I was just curious to see if the sheriff's department plans on expanding maybe in the next, you know, say 5, 10 years, maybe even 2 years down the road, to provide a competitive police force that maybe we could be a little more cost effective and that another municipality can utilize.
You're asking me personally, I don't see that.
Okay.
Okay, police, there's a lot of municipalities that don't have police.
Right, there are.
And a lot of municipalities do not want to have police.
Right.
One of the things, in, you know, is the cost.
Right.
We have, police go to interest arbitration right away. So you lose your power to negotiate. We have in the prosecutor's office, we have, you know, we're giving out 2%, sometimes less than 2%, and, you know, our police units are getting 6-8%, and we have no control in this economic time, and it's a real problem. So, as far as expansion of our sheriff's department, we looked at, you know, one estimate was approximately $30 million to provide the countywide police over $30 million, I think.
Right.
Over $30 million. That's
pretty
more than a third of our budget that exists now. Plus, it would probably actually be more than that by the time we drill down into the full cost. And I just
so you don't really see
I don't
this,
see that yeah. happening.
Not even like maybe 20 years down the road. I mean,
well, you know, hey, I'm not going to.
Yeah. I might be. I don't know. But, I would hope
so,
we get something together.
You know, I'm very familiar with the southern counties and the police departments. The sheriff's department is the major police force in most of the southern counties.
Right.
It was set up that way. This year in the tax environment we're in right now, and I don't have to tell people in Washington Borough, you understand it very well. I just don't see that happening. One of the things we're looking at and investigating is the opportunity to utilize our sheriff's department more efficiently and the corrections department. We're looking at the opportunities to possibly have the sheriff, you know, be head of corrections too, and see if, I don't know if we'll have dramatic cost savings, but I see some efficiency savings, and I do see some cost savings. And some opportunities for employees to, you know, work and advance or have the opportunity for additional training. So I understand your question. I understand the reason for your question. But I don't, my personal opinion, and I'm just one freeholder, is I don't want to assume those costs.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chamberlain. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anything else?
What if those costs were, you know, supported by each municipality so that it wouldn't be just a county tax increase, say it would be shared among the whole county?
They took over the police departments that have the police.
Right.
And, you know, it's absolutely amazing because I see a big battle. You know, look at our school system. If you look at your tax bill, 65% of your tax bill is your school system. Can we make the school systems more efficient?
Absolutely.
There are no states, okay, yet we have this administration, this bureaucracy, et cetera. Nobody wants to give up those powers. We try to consolidate school systems. My God, what a battle. And you see if we wanted to take over the police departments?
It's apples and oranges, though. It's completely different because that's administrative as opposed to...
Has nothing to do with what is efficient, what is cost-effective, and what is correct. It's a battle over turf. The only way I would ever consider a countywide is to put it on the ballot and let people vote on it. That would definitely have to be a ballot issue. Because you're talking about a huge expense going forward.
Can I go
over
the other questions?
Sure.
I'm Janine Gleba. I didn't introduce myself before. Thanks for coming. I had the question if you could discuss and address the resolution that we adopted and sent in December 2010, where we requested that you waive the open space tax for 2011. So I was just wondering, you know, what happened with that? You know, how was it considered? And, you know, what is your process for when, you know, local municipalities pass these resolutions and, you know, they get sent off and we kind of never hear anything up from them again. So, you know, it's like a twofold question. What is your process? But then also, you know, what relief Are you planning any relief? Obviously, you didn't waive the tax, so, but, you know, going forward.
Well, to answer your first part of your question, number one, your resolutions come to us as mail, okay? Your resolution was in a timely fashion because it was during our budget process, so we did discuss it during our budget meetings, open public budget meetings, so that's where it was discussed. My personal feeling and my colleagues' feelings were that this is one of the only taxes that the people voted on in the county, one of the only. And if we were to reduce that or cut it, I would like to see that as it was implemented by petition. If Washington Borough residents or any residents would like to put a petition together, and we would put it on the ballot, and if the people of the county would vote and say, we want to cut back, cut out, cut back, or whatever, I don't have a problem with that. But I think this is one of the taxes that the people, one of the programs that people want, they voted for it. The state voted to bond again, and so for the council to just send us a resolution, we discussed it. One of the, we received a year, 2 years ago, I think, Lopakon sent us a resolution, and then we got a few more, and I started quizzing the Lopakon, a couple of Lopakon council members, and I said, you know, why do you want to do this? And it really disturbed me, because they said, well, we want to raise our municipal tax, and if we could cut the open space tax 2 cents, we can raise our tax 2 cents, and nobody will know the difference. And I was absolutely amazed, this is what they told me, and I, you know, I said, that you know, if the public is absolutely opposed to the program as we go forward, they don't want open space, they don't want farmland assessment, they don't want, or farmland preservation, they don't want, you know, restoration of some of the historical sites and so forth. Let it be in the form of a petition. We'll put it on the ballot. I'm not opposed to that. And let the public vote on it as they did when they voted to implement the tax.
Thank you.
I think that's a fair one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Mr. Higgins.
I do. Mr. Director, could you give us an update on the library, progress on the library?
Which one?
With the county library, one of the rehab building that's being taken for the 5 months.
Well, we have a project down in the old Best Farm on Route 46.
Right,
we're
going to
make that building.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an open house there on the 21st of May, I think it is, and we'll move from facility they're in, which is not quite across the street, but you know, diagonally across the street, into the new facility there, which was the old Best Fruit Farm, and then we will be putting the other building up for sale. But I think we're scheduled to have, they'll be moved in sometime in early May, and we have an open house scheduled for the 21st, I think that's a Saturday.
And the courthouse renovations are complete.
We have phase two that we'll be going into. We're at our next meeting, we'll have a contact with the architect, and he'll start the process for phase two, which will be renovation of the area that is housing the criminal division and probation. It'll open the front door and do some minor renovations. This is not a tear down. This is kind of a sprucing up. We have to replace some of the windows. The soffits in the front of the building are rotten. I mean, there should have been maintenance done to the building 20 years ago, and so we're doing some of that.
One more question for you, Director. How would we make it out with the 519 and 57 intersection? Anything come about as far as rehab? Would that would state? You hear anything? I know that's been in the works for a long time.
We've been working on that. The state is the lead agency in there, and
Need I say more?
One of the problems, and that's one of the major intersections we have, that one and the one on 22 and 519.
Right.
The two major intersections where we have most of our accidents.
Yep.
And but it's going to be a long process and an expensive one, so I don't, but, you know, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but there's a lot of planning.
Just there's some progress, then, I guess.
It pays for a lot, you know.
Didn't I read that they were looking at like 2016 to start that or finish it or something like that?
And like I said, it's not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, because it's in the very early design phases right now.
We've made progress, but progress is very slow. There's, land has to be purchased there. There's arguments with present landowners and negotiations, not arguments.
Okay.
Negotiations, and so, you know, it's ongoing.
Right, okay.
Thank you. I got another question over here. What's the update on Warren County College? You phase two there too, or it's now the college expansion, County College? I know that they had opened the alternate remote campus in Colesburg, and now Hackett County.
Well, they haven't opened it yet.
It's not open yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
The purchase of the Commerce Building in Colesburg, I think, is scheduled to be open in September, I think. It's not open now.
Okay.
And that's the only...
As I understood it, I thought there was another alternate for the... I mean, as I understand it, the business students will be going to the Colesburg location. The general students will remain at the main campus, and the medical-type, you know, students would be going to Hackett County.
There was some talk with the Hackettstown Hospital.
Right.
And I'm not sure where those talks are. You've got to remember, the community college is an autonomous board, the trustee.
Right.
They operate, we provide some funding, and they provide funding through...
They do report back to you.
Yeah, but we get a report, you know, at budget time. But I know there was talks with Hackettstown Medical Center about putting a center there for training, and I think the dollars required to do that are a real stumbling block.
Okay, well, that's an update. And I just have one other thing. I would like to maybe propose something to take back with you.
Mm-hmm.
Would be to possibly have countywide events in Washington's, you know, borough here. We're centrally located. Of course, most of the events are, you know, that way or elsewhere. So, of course, you know, we certainly are centrally located, easy to get to. Something to fuss about and
I don't know
consider.
What you mean by countywide events. But,
well, I don't know what
I,
you know, you're proposing.
I'm not an event person because I don't like to spend the money.
Uh-huh. Some of these are generated through their own funds. So.
If there's a ceremony or something, it's usually such as ribbon cutting at the new library branch, and so, you know, that's on site. But if we do something here in Washington, we'll have it in Washington. I don't know of any particular event that we actually sponsor.
Like I said, food for thought. Bring it back with you. Talk about. See what happens. Thanks.
I don't know if anybody in the audience has any questions.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Mr. Freeholder, thank you very much for coming to see us today.
I appreciate
the
opportunity.
Mr. House, Mrs. Chamberlain,
you know,
thank you for coming up.
My cell phone is published, so I answer it. if you do have questions, give me a call. I'd be happy to do your concerns. I think we've cut the actual tax levy. This is the third year in a row by $500,000, and the tax levy is the actual amount that you pay in taxes. So we are going in the right direction. I think people want to see smaller government, less intrusive government, and that's the path that I want to follow. So,
absolutely. Just a moment. going back to the open space taxes. So basically, the thing with the open space taxes is pretty much the thing about what we were talking about the county roads before. That the open space tax, you know, when we're looking at either having it repealed or adjusted, again, that tax goes towards maintaining all the open spaces in Warren County, again, which is one of the reasons why a lot of people live up here, because of all these things that we do have. So basically, this is contributing to maintaining what makes Warren County Warren County.
The aesthetic beauty of the county,
right,
the open space and so forth, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the people voted on it.
I think sometimes people...
I think it passed each time in the Washington Borough.
But I think it's also really important to reinforce that, because I think a lot of times we lose sight of that, especially with the economic crunch we're in. People are looking to cut, but sometimes you have to be careful. Thank you.
If there's no more questions, I appreciate it. Like I said, I answer myself on it.
Okay, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
That brings us over to the minutes of the regular meeting of April 5th.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Discussion on the minutes of April 5th. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? And we have the minutes of the executive session of April 5th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have no correspondence this evening. At this point, I will open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Mrs. Detlef.
I looked a couple months ago, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and there was blinking lights outside, right? So I thought, oh my God, what's going on? Well, what it turned out to be, when I looked out the window, was a tractor-trailer truck had decided to go down Fisher Avenue, make a sharp right turn on O'Shea, but didn't make it. Consequently, he was catty corner on my neighbor's lawn and has like a embankment, right? So they had to get the tow truck there and they had to lift up the end of the thing and put it down on the road, otherwise the guy wouldn't pop it and all that. Right. So what I want to know is, we don't currently have any weight or length restrictions on our roads. I never see anything posted. Do we have any?
I don't believe so.
The DOT oversees all of the road requirements, and we can impose certain restrictions, but we need approval from the DOT before we can actually post any signs, like a vehicle over X number of tons prohibited, that type of thing. I mean, from a practical standpoint, too, remember, you know, people move, people have deliveries. You can't necessarily restrict the delivery. I understand that. I'm just saying there are other restrictions, so it needs to be taken into account.
Are we going to do anything about it?
This is the first I'm hearing of an issue.
Can you address that at all, since you're here?
I'll look into it. I don't know what our code does.
I don't see any specifically yet. But, I mean, in terms of weight requirements, normally it has to go to the DOT.
Yeah, there's certain designations that get engineers empowered to comply, but those are all DOT governed.
Edna, what road was that on?
Fisher and O'Shea.
Fisher Ave?
Excuse me. Mr. Howe, isn't there other considerations that would go in, like the quality of the asphalt and things like this, too, for the upkeep of the road, for, you know, maintaining, I just wanted to see where we're at with that. Because a lot of our roads do seem to need constant repair, significant and certainly costly. So maybe you could say something on that.
Yeah, that goes into your assessment of your current conditions, and, you know, you have a couple options. One is reconstruction, resurfacing, and maintaining. We haven't really had the opportunity to do that a lot in town, so the other option is to restrict access, restrict usage, to try to extend the use of like what we currently have.
Well, what I mean, maybe I should rephrase the question, because the Department of Transportation standards might be one, you know, set of standards, but, you know, how where is that in terms of, I mean, is that a low standard, high standard? Can we improve on that? I mean, can we purchase something that's going to last for 20 years instead of 5?
Yeah, basically the weight limits on state roads carry through to anywhere those vehicles need to get to. Obviously, on Fisher, you know, an H-20 loading truck, maybe that's not appropriate. Certainly, the length sounds like some limitation with the turning radius. So, I mean, those are conditions to be looked at. We could evaluate where you might restrict truck access.
Edna, was that truck running, idling?
Pardon me?
Was the truck idling?
When?
When you saw it.
When I saw it?
Yeah.
It woke you up.
It woke you up, right? The lights were blinking. Was it sitting idling?
I truthfully don't know if it was idling or not, because you couldn't go anywhere. If you went anywhere, if you went forward, you would have tipped. If you went back, you would have tipped. So I don't know whether you
were...
Oh, you mean the noise?
Yeah.
So no.
As far as, because there are restrictions on how long the trucks get idling in residential areas, noise ordinance and things like that.
So the tow truck actually, the lights in the tow truck actually would alarm you.
Oh, the catwalk?
Yeah. Was he chasing the lights? They do, they get scared.
Actually, looking at the ordinance there, here's what the ordinance says. It's 85-12. It says trucks over 4 tons gross weight are hereby excluded from all streets within the borough, except for the pickup and delivery of materials on such streets, except those which are designated as truck routes in Schedule 6 and being attached. In Schedule 6, Belvedere Avenue, entire length, is a truck route, and Broad Street, entire length, is a truck route. Now, I have to caution everybody, if these were not approved by the DOT, there may be questions as to their enforceability. I don't think I drafted the ordinance that preceded me. So that's a question somebody would have to look at.
You said 8 tons?
4 tons. Trucks over 4 tons gross weight. Now, I'm not sure if that's ever been enforced.
Probably not.
I can't imagine it.
Go by all the time.
Yeah.
But if we don't usually have something that's that long and can't make the corner.
Right.
There are some trucks that do come that have a hard time making it, but they make it. This guy didn't make it. He took down some bushes.
Yeah.
Normally,
they don't regulate length of vehicles that I'm aware of. They regulate weight. But not length that I'm aware of.
It used to be a width, like 101 inches.
Yeah, right.
That is gone now.
That was limited to certain roads, that the 101 roads.
Yeah.
And then the problem was there was a distinction between state registered vehicles and out-of-state registered vehicles, and the federal courts threw it out.
Yep.
Wouldn't that determine how long the thing is?
That's regulated by Title 39. Title 39 is the state statute that regulates motor vehicle use. That's not a local ordinance. We have ordinances. The state has statutes. The state regulates in a uniform way all motor vehicle use by Title 39, except for certain narrow areas where they allow local municipalities to regulate. Local municipalities can regulate weight to some degree on certain streets, providing they're not connector streets, and providing you get, and I think you have to get approval by the state with respect to weight limitations, even on local streets. Is that right, Andrew? Yep. But length is normally something that would be regulated by state statute, and, you know, you have to allow moving trucks on local roads, and...
They could maybe have to get a permit, though, from the municipality.
Title 39 regulates that almost exclusively.
It does.
Yeah,
okay.
You would not be permitted to require a permit.
Okay.
All right,
Mr. Dalalba.
Mm-hmm. Dalalba, 86 West Seward Street.
I wanted to just personally thank the council members that presented at, it wasn't last Friday, the Friday before, the citizens' public meeting that we had was well attended, and we did receive some very good feedback from citizens in terms of the presentations that went on. I think it did a lot to establish rapport. It also did a lot to answer questions. I've heard from council and from citizens that it was informative. We like that. It's a kind of a way of establishing with some of the citizens. I know we didn't have the press there. We actually didn't contact any press, but it was well turned out and well received. So I wanted to personally thank you. I think we had every council member there, almost every council member there, and it just really went well. And I think it does a lot to establish a working rapport with the citizens. So thank you. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members, and all others who are present here tonight. My name is John Finnegan, and I hail from 23 Humans Avenue here in the borough. And I am here as the newly elected president of the Washington Community Garden Association. And I would just like to thank the council for last year giving the green light for our association to commence this project. And without the council's permission, this project would not exist. So I would just like to thank you all for approving that. And I would also like to report on progress that the garden has made in that interval from then until now. Last year, we had 72 plots. We donated over 2,000 pounds to local food pantries and other charitable causes. This year, we plan to expand the garden by 20 plots to 92 plots, and we hope to increase our donation of vegetables again. This year, we've also received many donations from other individuals and organizations that have donated their time, particularly Comcast. This year, on April 30th, we will be having a work day from 8:30 to 3 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. And I encourage any and all council members to attend that work day. You could bring a spade or a wheelbarrow if you would like to attend. Along with Comcast, Mr. William Leifer is helping us with our expansion. He's going to be donating a good deal of manual labor, tearing up the plots so that we can plant. I would just like to make clear that we are not actually expanding the boundaries of the garden itself. We are simply expanding within the already fenced-in limit that we have there. Mr. John Curtis, with the Perfect Christmas Tree Farm in Phillipsburg, has also agreed to help us with this project. He will be assisting Mr. Leifer in that process. Mr. Bill Quilbin donated manure, and our Good Road Department helped deliver that manure for fertilizer for our gardener, along with wood chips for the path that were also moved by the Road Department to our garden. This year, the Key Club, of which I am the current liaison for the Washington Community Garden, will be attempting to help out homebound senior citizens by hopefully growing some fresh vegetables and then making weekly drop-offs to those elderly individuals. And that is about all we have for right now. If you have any questions, I would be glad to take them right now. And I would, again, just like to thank you for your continued support of this project.
Absolutely, no problem. You're talking about closing it down for a couple of days for some work. Have you done that yet? Or
construction has not started yet. However, we are planning on doing it within this week if possible, and it shouldn't take much longer than a week at maximum. We intend to have it open again by April 30th for the work day.
Okay. I'll certainly be there for that. Get my garden plot ready.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other, Mr. Torres?
Yeah. I know you probably have budget constraints like we all do, so I don't know what kind of publicity you did, but if you could maybe put out flyers with these dates and times, so that, you know.
I know it has been in the Washington Messenger, I believe.
The Messenger, right?
Is it in the Express Times also? Or?
I do not believe it.
It will be now.
Yeah.
Hear that, Steve?
Come on, Steve.
I know
and
you
maybe
were.
We can get it on WRA today?
That'd be beautiful. Thank you.
It was definitely on the Comcast Community Board. I saw it on there.
And we also encourage all members of the garden to distribute any flyers that we hand out at our meetings that we hold monthly. So try to get some homegrown publicity there.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Very well done. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cuttigan, Mr. Higgins had a question for you.
I just wanted to say thank you for your involvement with this community and taking on such a large project. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? So now we're going over to the 2011 municipal budget, public hearing for the budget amendment. At this point, I'll open up the public hearing on the 2011 budget amendment. Mr. Phelan, Ms. Turchin, do you have anything that you'd like to say?
This is a reiteration, excuse me, this is a reiteration of the introduced budget amendments from the previous meeting. No other changes have been made.
So the public hearing is of those amendments, and then 79 is?
The adoption of it.
Correct.
Is the adoption of it.
Adoption of the amendment.
And the amendments were introduction of it.
Okay, anybody who would like to speak on the budget amendments? Hearing none, I would accept the motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, now Resolution 79, 2011, the budget amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? You have a roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
Sewell?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
That brings us to Resolution 80, 2011, approving adoption of the municipal budget.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Yeah, of course you know there's discussion on that, right?
What do you have, Mr. Higgins?
Well, listen, what I have, well, I don't have too much, but just a quick comment here. This year is unusual in the fact that to get what we need, the forensic audit, the budget has to pass. Unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, taking a look at this year's budget, and using what both the CFO and the manager have pointed out to me, I'd just like to point this out, is that we have a one-time expense in this year's budget of $100,000 for the forensic audit. Next year, that expense is not going to be there. Based on the information that was provided by both the manager and the CFO, we can expect to raise the amount of, it's anticipated that we raise the amount of surplus that we use this year to $300,000 in next year's budget. Now, taking that into consideration, if we removed $100,000 from, or 3 cents, that would be $100,000, which would be the expense for the forensic audit this year, that would come out of next year, we would still raise the money. I know I'm confusing the heck out of you. We would still, it's a $400,000 turn instead of $300,000, as I look at it, because we're not going to have that expense next year. Does everybody understand that?
You had me up until about your last 2 seconds.
Okay. It's going to be a 400,000, listen, the manager and the CFO presented at one of their meetings that we used $306,000 this year out of surplus from last year to offset the tax increase.
Right.
In this budget right here this year, we have a one-time expense of $100,000, which we're not going to have next year. So that $100,000 is basically a 3 cent increase,
mm-hmm.
Correct? Roughly 3 cents.
A little less, yeah.
So if we remove that 3 cents from the budget, that would give us a 5 cent increase versus an 8 cent increase, because we're not going to spend that next year, but we're still going to have the expected revenue to fill the surplus that we use this year. Just to understand.
I understand. Yeah, I've got you so far.
I just wanted to point that out.
So let me just rephrase and see if I can get it. If next year, well, let me just propose this. is it mean that next year we would have 400,000 instead of 300,000 for a surplus?
You would have more than that.
That, what he's basically saying is that extra $100,000, all things being equal, would go into the fund balance for next year.
Okay.
Or the year after.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Straighten this out.
I'm going to try to explain this. If everything remains equal and 2012 budget is identical to 2011.
Which it won't be.
Right.
Never is.
But if everything remains equal, your next year budget is $100,000 lower than this year budget from the start because it's one time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, nothing remains equal because the salary
salaries go up.
The pension is going to go up because you have inner funds that you need to clear up, and this year we have $70,000 in the budget to pay off, and then
that we don't know what the reserve for uncollected taxes will be.
So, but if everything stays the same, then next year budget is $100,000 less than this year, right?
Correct. But that is if we.
That's why I sit here.
Yes. Yeah. But if we take in more revenue than the anticipated 300,000. Then we're even ahead even further.
If we collect more revenue than anticipated surplus that I anticipate to generate, if tomorrow the Federal Reserve raised the interest from a quarter point into five and I start making decent interest in investment income, absolutely there's going to be more money. There's even in the beginning of the sentence. So, is that a what? Generate more money? It's absolutely a great thing.
No, what Dave is pointing out, is that a bad thing?
No, it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if we don't pass the budget, we don't get the audit.
Yeah, okay. But what you're stating is, as what you're pointing out, is that a bad thing or a good thing? Or nothing?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing, right?
Yes and no.
Well, what's as far as,
if we raise more money than we anticipate, then I view that as, you know, we should get the tax rate for this year and live within our budget for next year.
But
this,
you're banking on the fact that we will raise next year money and you want to give credit before we raise money. Why not, if we do raise money, then we give it higher credit next year?
And that's why I only said the $100,000.
Any other discussion?
I guess so, to Dave's point, too. Say it didn't pass. It doesn't necessarily mean it's not passing just because someone doesn't want the forensic audit. You know, the council people might have issues with other aspects of the budget. So it's unfair to say if there's a no vote that it's because they didn't want the forensic audit. So I think that's wrong of the public to assume that if it's a no vote, it's because they didn't want the forensic audit.
It's one consequence, not all consequences.
Right, exactly.
Major consequence.
You might have issues with the police amount this year or whatever. I'm just throwing out examples.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Write this down. Yes.
Jules?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes. Got a short reach. That brings us to our reports.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second. Is there any discussion on any of the reports?
Mayor, I'd just like to make a comment for item number 7% of collection report. I believe that was great information.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that extra effort there by Station. Is I'm pronouncing that right?
Station.
We can continue to see that.
I agree.
Any other comments on the reports?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Good. I also like the DPW report, too.
Well, I want to address the DPW report. One, two, three, four. Fourth paragraph down. Last sentence. One man was sent up to clean the borough hall as a custodian, was due out to medical leave. Are we sacrificing DPW to do janitorial duties at the borough hall?
No.
Buildings and grounds is a department within DPW now.
But is that janitorial duties is what he was doing?
Yeah, buildings and ground are janitorial department, if you will, falls under buildings and grounds, which is a division of Department of Public Works. The buildings and grounds employee reports to the Director of Public Works now. It's just one of his employees assigned to his...
So this is like restocking toiletries and vacuuming and things of that nature?
Janitorial custodial. We have someone that does this part-time now. When he was out, DPW filled in.
Yeah, okay. When we have the custodian, he's a part of DPW anyway?
Yes.
So we have a DPW personnel here in the building 3 days a week, or...
Well, right now he's part-time. 5 days a week he comes in the mornings.
So this person here is part-time?
Yes. The janitorial is a part-time employee.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion?
I just have a question on the Chief Financial Officer's expenditure report. I just was wondering if there's any changes that you had that, you know, are, you know, different than, you know, anticipated.
No, this is not, you know, projected. This is what occurred.
Right. So, I mean, this is nothing unusual is on here.
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any expenditures?
Yeah, okay.
Committee reports. Sewer committee.
Okay. Sewer committee met. If I told you the date, I'd be wanting to.
6th of April.
Yes, 6th of April. Thank you, Debbie.
So you're not lying when you say that now?
No, I'm telling the truth now.
All right.
Andrew, will step up and help me at any time. Here's what we talked about. We talked with QuickCheck, and they're here. They're the next item of business after the report. They'll give their presentation. They met with Patrick and I. Unfortunately, Patrick had a conflict of interest and couldn't partake. So they're going to be discussing some items of interest for their future projects on the corner of 57 and Brass Castle. Andrew talked about the wastewater management draft is at DEP. To go along with their request, the QuickCheck's request, that would have to be amended, not revised.
That's correct.
Amended. And we'll get into the discussions with them about costs and things like that. They're actually requesting 2,500 gallons a day based on the size of their project. We also talked about South Prospect Street and Gardner's Court. And the best avenues to correct the situation down there, and actually what that would be a pumping station, if you will, sir.
Yeah, I can just give you a 5-minute highlight of what we've evaluated. We had direction from the sewer committee.
But we have a siphon there now?
There is a siphon there now. Right now, what I have on the map here, the borough map, the area within red is that area that is tributary to South Prospect Street, where flow has to get into our trunk line that serves the majority of the town, 30-inch trunk line, parallels the stream, on the other side of the stream. So the way we get sanitary sewer and a gravity pipe under a stream is by a siphon. Siphon like you might create with a straw, and your kids might do at the house, where the inlet and the outlet flow, the difference in that elevation causes the flow to go through an inverted, like a U-shape, if you will, and can continue on down the pipe. So that siphon always existed at this location for as long as, I guess, the sanitary sewer collection system was in that place. In 2006, it was replaced or upgraded, if you will. The siphons are always typically designed to have two pipes, parallel pipes, one smaller, one larger, to take average flow and peak flow. We know that the area bounded by the red area here generates anywhere from about 130,000 gallons per day, or about 20 to 25% of the total flow that goes to our wastewater treatment plant, which is on the west end of the town here on the Chavacon. But during peak events, larger flows, primarily rainfall-induced larger flows, You can see flows as high as 3 and 4 times that number. So anywhere to 300 to 400,000 gallons per day will be coming down South Prospect Street, Gardner Court area, and have to find its way through the siphon. Now, the siphon as designed should be able to take that flow. But what happens at the outlet side of a siphon is if it's got a free area to discharge into a larger pipe, it'll take the flow. But when the sewer trunk line for serving the rest of the communities starts to fill up, that liquid level is going up. The height of the inlet side of the siphon has to go up correspondingly in order to drive the amount of flow through the U-shaped pipe. So this is the whole hydraulic analysis that you engaged H2M Associates back in 2007 to evaluate this and a few other issues. And in their report, they recommended further hydraulic study and evaluation of the siphon to understand why it's not working all the time. So under these peak flow events, we know residents in the Gardner Court area have been impacted by sanitary sewer surcharging. That's what we call it when the pipe system just becomes full and it's got nowhere else to go but up onto the ground or up sanitary sewer lateral connections of the homes connected to the low-lying pipes. So we actually, in this investigation, went out and with our surveyor shot some elevations of the critical pieces of that lateral, or of that pipe, I'm sorry. And we have a profile view of the 6-inch pipe, the 8-inch pipe, and I take this little piece, the picture on there. The last picture is what a siphon typically, as it's designed, should look like. It should have a declining slope, an increasing slope, and the piece in the middle should be level, horizontal. What was constructed in the field is more like a V shape, and that's just by virtue of what they encountered, I think, during construction, possibly rock, other obstructions, just means and methods on how to get a pipe under a stream. So that's one of the several contributing factors that are causing us to have a problem under peak flow scenarios, is the V shape of the pipe. Another issue is just the relative difference between the upstream and downstream systems, those manholes. There's only about a foot and a half difference, available energy, if you will, to push the flow through those tubes. As soon as you start to consume that or raise the outlet elevation, the upstream elevation has to go up, and we have other contributing factors. We have to, the old siphon, and I'll show you on the map here, Route 57 is to the right, and South Prospect is draining down towards, this is the Chabacon. It used to flow straight into the siphon, straight across, and then make a sharp turn in the trunk line on the downstream side. Well, the new siphon was installed as is shown here, so the flow coming down South Prospect now has to make a turn, fairly sharp turn, and also the flow from Gardner Court is coming at it from another direction. So you have a real junction of competing flows, different velocity trajectiles, and they all have to find their way into the siphon. So that takes energy. So now when I said I had a foot and a half of available energy, on the inlet side, if I start to merge flow streams and consume some of that energy, now I have less energy available. So enough of the hydraulics, I think you get the picture.
Is this the time to speak to the pitch of that Gardner Court line?
Yeah, well, exactly, thank you. That's the blacker lines that you see, this is the upstream side from the stream. These two pieces of pipe were installed during the 2006 project to, basically they were flattened, if you will, brought up because they had to make the new siphon work. The old siphon chamber was over here, and the pitch of this line had to be reduced. In fact, it got reduced to the point where the lowest house here actually has a small pump system to collect its wastewater and discharge it into the gravity line of the street because it's slightly, it could be lower in elevation. So those two gravity lines had to be adjusted during the construction of that project, which I think was actually done by a change order, if I recall, was part of the original design. So we have what I'll say is a substandard condition or design condition for this siphon. Siphons are designed to convey flow at 3 feet per second so that you can send flow down the pipe and make sure everything comes out the other side. Wastewater isn't just water, so we want to make sure everything gets out of there. This siphon is not operating at 3 feet per second because of the loss in energy. It operates at a slower speed, and therefore you have potential for buildup together in that V-shaped trap. So as a maintenance procedure, your wastewater operator goes out there, I think, on a monthly basis and jets the lines to try to keep it clear. But still, during a storm event, there's going to be an opportunity for things to collect and reduce the conveyance capacity of the site.
Andrew, can I interrupt you real quick here?
Sure.
Just so everybody knows, that design change was forwarded to DEP back in 2006 based on the recommendation of the engineer at the time. The council at the time approved that, sent it to DEP. DEP approved that design, even though what Andrew's telling us now, it's not working the way it's supposed to.
So you're proposing then a pump to add this energy to solve the problem?
Yeah,
what's the best solution then?
Let me tell you the options that we threw out the wall and what sticks, what doesn't. It all comes down to cost and reliability and maintenance factors that you have to evaluate. And I'm not here to tell you this is the only solution, but there are solutions, things that we can do to try to improve on the situation, which is otherwise unacceptable. To have a sanitary sewer collection system not function reliably is a problem. Okay, so we've outlined the reasons for its poor performance. And so starting from the simplest of options and working our way up to the more complex, one of the first things that you might think about doing is, well, hey, this doesn't happen all the time. It's just during these peak events. It's how often does it rain, right? Those homes that are connected to these low-lying pipes, if there was a what we call a check valve on the sanitary sewer lateral so that flow can only go in one direction from the home to the line, when the line is surcharged, flow would not be allowed to come back in, but the household plumbing would not be allowed to function either because it couldn't get out. So, in my opinion, that's not an option for us. It was discussed, I think, some time ago with one or two of the particular homeowners, but it's not a reliable option. Two check valves that people talk about, it really becomes a maintenance nightmare for us, and it's not a reliable method for operation. We can also attempt to fully control the infiltration and inflow that's affecting our system so that when it rains, our flow is the same as when it's not raining. Well, that's not a plausible outcome. And we could spend every dollar anybody can think of on the system and it's still going to have spikes in flow when it rains. It's the nature of sanitary sewer collection, especially in lower lying areas. So I don't recommend that be the only solution. I don't recommend we take away from that. We still have an ongoing need to maintain and monitor and address infiltration and inflow, but it's not the solution for this particular location. We could apply the same technology that was used on one house to several of the other low-lying homes, install a pump station outside of each little house, each house is a small pump station called an ejector pump, little package unit. That basically what that does is it isolates the household plumbing from the system in the street, and all the wastewater from the home goes into a little tank and gets pumped out to the main in the street. So that would at least isolate those homes from that issue. But it doesn't address the ongoing maintenance issues of the siphon, the reliability of the siphon, and the potential for surcharging of the system. We haven't addressed the main problem. We've just insulated those people being affected by it by virtue of pumps
treating the symptoms and not the problem.
That's right. We could attempt to reconstruct the siphon. Again, done in 2006. I'm not here to tell you that I could do a better job because we really are limited by elevation. You can only do so much. We could try to increase the opportunity for elevation difference by moving the outlet further down the line, maybe relaying these pipes higher all the way back up to Route 57. Then you're really creating a whole nightmare of scenarios because now all these homes no longer have a gravity connection. They're going to have to pump into the line. So to me, that's a very complex solution that cost-wise and implementation-wise is not feasible. So that's where I come down to the point where a regional pump station, one that serves the entire area that I showed you in red, collects all the wastewater at this junction and then conveys it into the trunk line with pumps. That's a somewhat reliable scenario. It eliminates the problematic condition of the siphon, but it comes at a cost. So I have...
You said somewhat reliable.
I'm sorry?
You said somewhat reliable.
Well,
with the pump.
The siphon, we talked about in the sewer committee, actually talked about it, it's a good suggestion. Could you leave the siphon in service for the average daily flows and rely on the pump station only during the peak flow?
Good question.
You would save the energy. Yeah, I wonder who came up with that.
Probably.
You'd save the cost of operating a pump station continuously. The siphon works on average days for the most part, but we still have to maintain it. We still have to jet it. Its design is just not perfect. But that may be something to consider. My jury's still out on that. We could look at that as an option as to how you might implement this project and reduce your overall energy cost. You'd still need to implement full construction of a capable pump station to take those peak flows. So you'd have that ability all the time. The question is, do you leave a portion of the siphon still in service to take the day-to-day flows? This is an example, actually, a pump station we recently did down at Livingston. So it's just a series of above-grade cabinets, and it's a below-grade wet well piping configuration. And this particular facility would have about the same conveyance capacity as you need here, and that was about a $250,000 investment to install. So that's order of magnitude what we're talking about to address, what I'll say, is a permanent fix. Now, pump stations have their own inherent maintenance. You need a generator for backup power, so when the power goes out, there's periodic cleaning or pumping of the wet well just to make sure it's clear. Energy costs to run the pumps. Now, these pumps are not going to be lifting wastewater to a very high elevation. They're almost pumping downhill, if you will, because the trunk line is, you know, a foot and a half lower than the upstream side. So you're not consuming a lot of energy, but it's still, you know, there are maintenance issues with the pump station. So I'm just here to describe to you what we in the sewer committee discussed, field some of your questions, but after that I would formulate a final and formal recommendation.
I have a question. Was anything proposed such that you can increase the energy by adding water to the existing lines now that go to push it through, to add that, so that would prevent that from happening too? That's maybe some different...
Yeah, I mean, what happens is when the downstream side is surcharged because of excessive flows,
mm-hmm.
you still need energy to push the flow through the pipe, and filling the system upstream with water, I mean, the rainfall and the wastewater are doing that now, and you're surcharging the whole system. So.
Well, what I was thinking of possibly was expanding that grid that you have there so that more come in and give it the higher
capacity. And you really need a large storage volume or ability, and there are homes very nearby, so it's really hard to isolate the homes from the network. I don't know of a scenario where we could make something like that work.
You just add pipes in to the, you know, in other words, shift the grid, yeah, and kind of do it like that. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, you know, water seeks its own level, so if this end has to surcharge, until the, you know, the whole Gardner Court area gets full. You know, we're only talking 8-inch gravity lines. It doesn't take long for those to fill up. 8-inch diameter pipes, I mean.
Yeah. That's true. Thanks.
Andrew, is there a way to get rid of that siphon altogether and just kind of create like a straight shot? I mean, I don't know much about plumbing. We spoke before, I'm more electrical, so.
There's a lot of electrical.
Yeah. I mean, if you can make like a waterfall in a creek right now, just to straighten that out and run the pipe straight across. I mean,
DEP has some pretty strict rules about encroaching in a stream.
Okay.
So there's really not a feasible means other than, you know, if you wanted to eliminate the pipe entirely, I mean, we could pump through it, use one of the two of the tubes as our, just leave a new discharge main inside it.
And on average, what would you say maintenance on a pump station? I'm sure it's got a diesel generator with that too.
Right.
What would that cost? I'm sure you got to run the generator probably once a month.
Yeah, you're going to set the generator. Yeah. You're going to fuel consumption and delivery cost, periodic maintenance. There'll be instrumentation or controls reporting back to the plant, so that you get a sense of what's happening out there.
Right.
But I could get numbers together. I don't know what the operating costs on particular facility is.
Would it be similar to something we have existing right now? I know we got a few pump stations.
Yeah, a few pump stations, nothing this large. This is probably the largest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mayor, I see two residents from that area if they want to speak to this.
Where would this be located?
Really, I don't know.
Your backyard.
The cul-de-sac?
Yep.
the cul-de-sac, there's the up inlet chamber, if you will, of the pipe in and around that structure right there, right off the cul-de-sac. It'll be in town right of way. I think the right of way of South Prospect goes to the stream, if I'm not mistaken.
How wide is that? How big of a...
They didn't see the picture.
I'm sorry. So there's a cabinet, a separate generator, and then the wet well. But so they're a couple, they look like sheds, basically.
That's going to be something that we already have there that nobody does anything with that chair now.
I can't speak to that.
Mrs. Sloan, you had a question?
I'm curious. There's a bypass that goes, that I think it was put in, no, I remember these things, 1911. Goes past where Warren County Liquor is and shoots under, it shoots under the road and goes, would it, could we divert some of the water from the red line people and throw it through that? That 1911 thing had to take care of Wyoming Avenue.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably further down. And that really is taking all this area.
Yeah, that's taking... No, that wasn't even built then.
No, but they do now get collected, pumped over, and then flow in through that
one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I haven't done an analysis on that, but my guess would be that this, even a portion of this flow might tax or surcharge that line more than it could take. But I don't know for sure.
Can I ask a question? Prior to this whole store line being redone on South Prospect Street, we were fine. Then they did this, and then we're not fine. She is the one house that gets very highly affected by. But we were all giving some thought to what's been going on since it has been done. I've had to replace my store line from my house out to the road. So has the home next to myself. We're not even wondering if, like, we really didn't even need to do this. That thinking she had a problem, another neighbor had a problem, we've all had a problem, and didn't even realize it was all affected by this. I mean, they had to dig from my house all the way almost to the phone stack to put a new on it. And even now, we get, not even the heavy rain, the rain we had today, I flush my toilet. They don't for them. So go down 3 or 4 flushes, but they're not going down. We don't get the backup. She gets the backup in the home. So why did we not have a problem before? And what got messed up? Who didn't do something properly that when they were posted in improvement, they actually went backwards?
Yeah. It's a combination of factors which I've just reviewed. One of the main issues is, as I said before, the majority of the flow would come down South Prospect and went straight across. So it was a very smooth flow path for flow to go into the site and come back out the other side. Now it has to make a fairly sharp turn, go through a structure, and then in this way. So that creates the scenario where the flow, it consumes energy for the flow to redirect.
Yeah,
like
let me ask you this question. Did anyone propose a parallel line, a separate main, another, you know, and then cross the stream down further near the sewer plant? You know, at a grade where, you know, see that.
We can look at other options to redirect flow. Once you get down to this point, it's really, but if you could intercept flow further up, take the majority of the upstream and redirect it, you still have to get across the stream.
But it might be at a better place.
It might be go into right-of-ways and having
And
the cost of others.
The sewer extension lines through environmentally sensitive areas is going to be fairly sizable.
Not $250,000, though.
More.
You think
more?
Okay.
But if it was there before, why didn't they just connect to what was currently there?
Yeah, I don't know the basis for the project.
Why didn't they make this bed? Why didn't they just leave it so straight across like it did before when it worked right?
Yeah, I don't know. My guess is that they reoriented it this way to try to gain elevation, as you proceed down the trunk line towards the plant, that pipe should be going down in elevation. You should have had a better opportunity here to convey more flow, but it didn't work out that way.
Keith, you had a question?
I just wanted to point out that not only are they dumping, but also wastewater is going into the creek.
Well, big time.
So it's more than just environmental events, it's also environmental.
Go ahead.
Sherry Gilby, 24, Gardner Court. That night, as you said, you had sewage coming out of manholes. It was a disaster.
Right.
But no one has addressed today anyway. I had an engineer tell me that my sewer line coming out of my home into the main line was level.
Right.
And should not be level.
Should.
And that's part of my problem. Is there any proposal to fix that?
Well, we're...
Is that all part of this?
It is all part of it.
Yeah, any solution that gets implemented here would address that. But you're right. Your typical lateral connection to a main in the street is to come in above it and drop in. They relayed this pipe back to Gardner Court right in front of your home and reconnected their lateral. It was brought into the pipe, even with the invert of that pipe, not above it. So.
Even on a good day, am I correct? I've always got
marginal, right.
Water laying in that pipe.
So this problem has been going on for at least 5 years. It was addressed in January of 2007.
Right.
And here we are in 2011 still addressing the same problem.
Yeah.
It is going to cost money. Now, the question that I have for the manager, that would come out of the sewer account, correct?
Sewer capital doesn't have funding in it. You'd have to bond for it. The sewer account has a balance in it. But remember, if you transfer money from the sewer account to sewer capital still owes general capital money, so it becomes a pass-through, and ultimately you don't get the money you're looking for. You need to bond for it. Oh, correct. It'd be a sewer bond come,
It would be paid out of the sewer rate.
Correct.
As compared to the general.
Correct. Correct.
Andrew, you're going to do another eval, come back with a final recommendation once again?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was not missing a point.
Okay.
Mrs. Gilby's lateral is a good point to remind us all that I'm making a note that has to be a part of any solution. And the environmental impacts of outflows, how often is that occurring? That's all going to be factored into why we should implement a corrective measure that can be done quickly.
Are there any grants available to do something like this, do you know of, Andrew?
Any what?
Grants. And with the Environmental Trust Fund, could we go that route instead of bonding?
Well, the Environmental Infrastructure Trust is a loan.
Right.
A loan or bond, either way, you're borrowing money.
Generally, on smaller projects, the soft costs are disproportionately large when you go to the Environmental Trust.
Right.
So that you really don't end up getting as much bang for your buck as you're paying all those soft costs, and the delta between what the borrowing costs and the lower rates that you get from the environmental trust are eaten up by the soft costs.
Mrs. Detliff, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, why is it worth before, whatever way it was, to
I think a lot of this was because it didn't work previously. At least I remember Councilman Housel, when he was on, talking about that quite often. I don't remember what the problem is.
Actually, what happened was when this was put in, their area wasn't affected prior to this. What happened was it fixed an area that was affected prior, but with this one right here, in turn, affected another area.
Okay, but
my recollection.
The previous siphon was still dumping the sewage out. It was just dumping it out in a different spot. Is that correct?
That's true, but don't forget, too, that this was part of phase two of the sewer collection system that was initiated back then.
Bigger program of sewer rehabilitation and replacement.
Right.
How do you pay back a sewer bond?
Out of sewer funds.
In essence, it gets accounted, you still have to borrow for it, but it gets accounted for in, you know, the sewer rates that we bring in.
That's what I mean, we'd be increasing the sewer.
Well, it depends on what the cost of the project is, it has to be recalculated. I mean, I can't say yes or no definitively, but yeah.
The fees that people pay every quarter.
Self-liquidating utilities are designed to pay for themselves.
Can I ask a few questions, or one make a statement? I don't know if you personally were down doing this, but on days that we do get a heavy rain, we do have that shallow pump, which does overflow, which does then.
Find its way into the.
Sewer line.
Right.
Exactly, so that is also another issue. So in your suggestion of what could be a possible fix for this, is that pump station gonna be able to handle when that stream comes up and it dumps into there, is that gonna be able to handle that? Because like the other day we had rain, your current pump station that's down there now, your pump station, it was probably about more underwater. It was put in the silliest place, and I'm not an engineer, I'm not a floor person, I'm not a plumber, common sense. It sits here, water runs over, it's always underwater, it made absolutely no sense.
We're in a floodplain down there.
That's number one. Number two, the outfit that did this, that brought this up, that did this work, if there's a problem, don't we have like.
Recourse.
Obligated to like make repairs, come fix things, do something if they screwed up in the first place, do it properly since day one that it's been put in. It has not worked properly. They should have not been, their bond head should not have been released. They should not have been given the write-off to walk away from this job. They should have made corrections and fixed it from the first day.
Unfortunately, Robin, unfortunately, the DEP approved all of this stuff.
Right, but they can approve it, but if it doesn't work.
They approved the design. Here's the thing. They approved the design, and in their opinion, it would work. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. And, like I said before, what it did, it took from the area that was affected previously. It fixed that problem there, but what it did was nobody had the foresight to see the problem that it caused on your side. It took the problem from here and moved it from here. You understand what I'm saying?
How much did we pay for that to happen?
How much did that cost?
How much did this town pay for all of this debacle?
I think that siphon was about $350,000. Well, yeah, but the siphon itself was about $350,000.
Do you have any idea what we're looking at the cost on this, or is it too soon to say anything?
Well, I know from experience on the pump station, the $250,000 number I'm fairly confident on. Some of the other options, alternate siphon locations, they're all, I'm confident they're going to be more. How much more, I'll quantify for you in my report.
So when you do finally do your final proposals, if you could just somehow plan in to avoid future, you know, other problems like that could be come into play, you know, whether there's town growth or, you know, extreme situations, because maybe it's better to go for the best possible solution rather than maybe the least expensive, you know.
Well, I think it would be safe to say that the committee's recommendation would be to have the engineer move forward with the further analysis and present a proposal to the council.
Or a set of proposals.
Well, one proposal would have the options, I'm sure, various options at its cost.
Yeah.
With a not to exceed amount.
Well, as residents, when you're talking about these individual little stations, the one home behind her house has one in front of her.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, all of our homes, if we had to have these big green candy canes sticking up in our front yards in front of your home, like across the stream, the house has one in their backyard, the neighbor has one in their front yard, you're not going to have very happy residents. And then who's ever going to buy your home?
Andrew, we weren't proposing that. We discussed that.
No, yeah. Well, what she's saying is one of the options I looked at was these.
Yeah,
the individual pump stations.
Right,
yeah, that one we talked about that, and I said, they're going to be digging up your yard, and then you have to maintain that.
Right.
The electric?
Well, not only that, but it's a huge, big metal pipe that looks...
Yeah, that's not, I mean, I'm one voice, one vote. I would not support that.
Right.
Also, didn't you say that was not the best option?
Well, it doesn't address the entire problem.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So why bother if it's not addressing the entire problem?
It's fixing the symptom, not the problem.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess, Mr. Higgins, what we're looking for, at least from what you were talking about, is a...
I would make that in the form of a motion.
Not to exceed amount from him?
Yes, I would make that in the form of a motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so you, just for the record, if you would state the entire motion that you want.
I make a motion to have the Borough's wastewater management engineer do further research on that down there and present the council with the best possible course of action with a not-to-exceed amount to remedy that situation.
Second.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on that? Mr. Holt, do you have anything you'd like to say to that?
No, I think that's in line with where I wanted to take you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Okay, I'm not done yet with the committee report.
Okay.
Real quick, I'm going to finish this up. We're waiting for, to the end of the month, we should have an answer on our dam project, the Mill Pond Dam, whether or not we have to maintain it or we can tear it down. And Veolia proposed, made a proposal to the council in the amount of, I think it was like $28,000, $29,800 was the total proposal to do metering of our collection system to check for I&I, and added that $2,800 or $2,900, 48, there would be 100 inserts for the manhole covers like they had previously done at $48 per manhole would be $4,800 for 100 manhole inserts, and they would they would actually do the insertion in there, which would reduce our amount of I&I. So I also make that motion that we move forward with purchasing 100 manhole inserts to have Veolia installed.
How
I'll
much
second
you
that.
Was it $28,000
or $4,800, $4,800.
If I may, before council takes action, this was not part of the 2011 sewer budget, this expense. It wasn't accounted for in the budget that was adopted. If you wait closer toward the end of the year, if there's a balance from unexpended funds, it might be feasible. But again, this is the first I'm hearing of it, and it was never inserted in the budget.
I understand that, and, well, actually, I told you we were going to do this, but... And you did tell me that it wasn't in the budget. But we raised our sewer rates last year to make up for a $300,000 shortfall. And
correct.
I think we had $36,000 left in the budget last year. We're talking a minuscule amount of money, $4,800, to help remedy a problem.
What is the problem?
Pardon me?
What is the problem? What are these covers?
On top of the manhole, manholes have holes in them on each side that they use to get the forks to pick them up,
right,
so they can do the work. These things are inserts, and all that rainwater goes down into the sewer collection system.
You're adding additional water.
And it heads to the sewer plant. These things are like tubs that sit under the cover, and what happens is the rainwater goes in there and then comes back up through the holes that it goes down, it doesn't go into the sewer system.
So in essence, you're creating a seal.
Mm-hmm.
And it reduces the flow that goes to the sewer plant. Which would help reduce that problem right there.
Well, it won't eliminate her problem, but
it won't eliminate it, but it would help.
Remember, 2 years ago, you did the first 100 manholes. Of the 650 manholes you have, Kevin Shout and I prioritized, where are the worst manholes? Lowest lying, ones near the gutter of the road, potential ones. So we easily have another 100 that we could address with this system. And his unit price is, I think, right around what we did two or three years ago. So
we've already done 100.
Yeah.
We've already done 100,
right.
Yes.
So we'll have a third of the system done after this.
I guess, can you check with the CFO that there are those funds?
Well, again, it wasn't part of the budget that was just adopted.
So we need to amend. Hey, Richard, if I may. The 15,000 we took out for the mapping of the sewers.
That was 2010 sewer fund.
Okay.
Goes back into sewer fund balance.
Okay.
Remember, if it's not budgeted,
right,
the money sits there in fund balance. I'm not saying we don't have the money.
Was that budgeted or no?
No.
About 2011.
To 2011, there's just the engineer's costs.
Okay.
For his engineering consulting services. So
what about a compromise solution with buying half now?
I'm not saying it can't. I'm not saying it can't be done, but something is going to have to be cut somewhere else.
When does that 3.5% of emergency appropriations I voted against kicks in that exceed the budget for the 2011 budget?
No,
2012.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't a cap issue. I mean, if
we're looking at ways. You keep saying, well, it's not in the budget. I mean, I can't figure out for the life of me why we can't expend that $4,800.
If it's not listed as an expenditure in the sewer budget for 2011, you can't spend it. Meaning, if there's a balance in the sewer account, which there is.
So wait a second. So if it's not on the budget that we didn't plan to spend money for, we can't buy it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. In the budget the council adopted, all the expenditures in the sewer department are listed. Now, there is a balance in the sewer account, which is fine, but we didn't list any additional expenditures in there, so it's not addressed in this year's budget.
Okay.
I'm not saying it can't be done. We might just have to wait a little bit of time till I can clear up some money from another expenditure. I have to cancel something in order to make this purchase.
Well,
which is fine.
That's what you should do.
I'm just saying that it wasn't budgeted, so I can't get this done right away.
I make the motion that we proceed to buy 100 manhole inserts at a cost of $48 and have Veolia Water install them.
I'll second that motion.
Any other discussion on this?
And they're going to do it. Do you get like a contract from them? They're doing that for free, the installation.
The sewer plant manager said that at our sewer subcommittee meeting that they would do
part of the routine.
It's part of that.
So we could get that like in writing that said we won't be charged for labor kind of thing?
They did that for the other 100.
Okay.
I'm sure that Kevin would do that.
Yeah, my personal opinion on this is we should probably see where we can get the money for it from first before we authorize this. But that's just my opinion on it.
I think so, too. To check with the CFO,
I think that it's not a good idea to hold up our whole budget process just for this small amount of money. Also, though, I mean, it can be moved according to the manager.
Well, I wouldn't be moving anything. I'd be canceling one thing and replacing it with this. Nothing would be moving. The overall sewer budget would stay the same.
Okay, what do we have on tap to get then? What do we have in the budget that we're spending the money on?
Primarily, the additional expenses have to do with paying back the interfunds. Increased electric costs, obviously, are in there, and increased utility costs. But the majority of the increases from sewer last year to this year have to do with paying the interfunds back.
Okay, well, listen, we have to pay $1 million back to the sewer funds, to the interfunds for the sewer project,
mm-hmm.
correct? $980,000. Let me ask you a question. And I'm asking the entire council this. Do you think $4,800 is going to make an impact on $1 million?
No.
Could be used out of that?
Well, we can discuss that next time.
Again, I'm not saying it can't be
okay,
done.
Okay, let's not do it willy-nilly. Let's find out how we're going to do it before we do it.
We're paying $100,000 back to the interfunds.
Right. Any other discussion?
So that's where the money would come from.
Possibly. Ms. Funko, you had a comment?
Yeah, I had a just a whole thing.
Yeah.
I have a question for you that many people back in our area have asked. We have no, except on South Prospect Street, we have no storage drains that collect the groundwater, rainwater. Would that help the situation down there since you are a low-lying area? To put in, not sewer lines, the lines that would collect just the plain old
the storm sewer as opposed to a sanitary sewer.
Storm drain.
Right. Would that help? Because now that water goes someplace differently. It's not all flowing down into the sewer line. It's not backing that sewer up. It's not filling.
But it would flow to the Shabbaton.
You probably end up going right back into the site.
Under the peak flow, that whole area is a floodplain. The whole area gets inundated. If there was a catch basin there, it would be underwater also.
But like up on 57, where's that water going?
I'm sure that gets around. There's nothing on there.
There's storm drains here out in the stream. Without prospects of. Up on Gardner Court, you don't have any infrastructure. Say if you had it on, would that help?
I don't believe it would have a significant impact.
Is everything like you're showing in that big square area?
Yeah.
There's nothing there for the water to go. There's no place for it to go. It's specifically all ways in that whole block area.
Mr. Mayor, we got a motion on.
Yeah. Okay, we do have a motion on the floor to expend the $4,800 for the manhole inserts. Have a roll call, please.
Wait, before you do that, you know, again, this is like, you know, we did one thing, we passed the budget, and this is, again, an example of not sticking to what we're supposed to be doing. I really think we should wait to see where the money's coming from. I agree it's $1 million or what's $4,000, but again, it's not doing what we set out to do.
Is it a need or a want? Do we need this? I'm looking to the sewer committee for
advice.
It's a need. It's a need. The manhole wasn't done years ago.
January 13, 2011, we had a sewer committee meeting. I brought up the same thing. So January 13th of this year, we talked about the same thing with the plug.
So why wasn't it included in the budget?
I don't make the budget up.
It was discussed.
It was discussed.
It was
done
previously. There were 100.
Why wasn't it included in the budget?
Also, if we wait, we could jeopardize that free insulation and all that as well. I mean, maybe not, but and that's another issue.
Waiting 2 weeks to find it out, 3 weeks. So I don't think that's going to be major.
January 31st.
Okay. Sorry. Can I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
No.
Leva?
Yes.
Valentine?
No.
I'm sure the residents of that area thank everybody.
Anything else from the sewer committee?
Yes. In the year 2013, the sewer plant contract is up. We are now midway through 2011. We need to start as a council to decide what it is that we're going to do with that contract when it expires.
The contract started in 98?
Yes. Design.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Build. Operate.
Okay. Because I was thinking it was 2000 that we opened it, and that we were going from there.
By the way, I have a side question. What's our capacity? Can we add a lot more sewage?
The design of that, you can add approximately another 1 million gallons to it, as I understand.
So in other words, for possible.
Another ring around the orbital system.
You can do that, but you can't get it out to the stream.
You're restricted.
So no.
So we can keep it.
We can have it go round and round and round.
Discharge an extra million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of the DEP regulations.
The reason I ask that, I'm considering. I don't know if the possibility of a shared services where we're a provider to other municipalities or other maybe little smaller.
We were in negotiations for quite a number of years with Washington Township to provide them with sewer capacity, and. To make a long story short, it didn't happen.
Right, but right now we can't. That sewer plant cannot. That's not full capacity for two towns. I mean, like the size of Washington Township.
Well, this was before it was designed, so we would have designed it for them.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, we do still have some extra capacity though. Now,
as far as what's left over.
Yeah.
There's some.
There's a balance on what's pre-approved by the state. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We could possibly use that, but that's just a thought.
And when it was built, we had a certain limit that we could discharge, and I believe that limit has changed since we built it. Is that correct? Which is what limits us now is to, yeah, we could put another 1 million gallons a day onto it, but we'd have to keep it.
Okay.
I have a side question, too. Are there any other, like, projects or expenses the sewer committee is, like this was mentioned earlier, are there any other ones on the...
On the block?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you care to elaborate? When are you going to spend those dollars on it?
after we approve the next budget. Listen, I don't want to be a smart guy on this stuff like this. This has been discussed. As far as the budget preparation, all right, we're past that process now. We have some responsibilities in this town with the sewer capacity and how we're trying to maintain that. That's what we're working on. Andrew, I give Andrew credit. We do have a plan. He's been a lot, very, very supportive and looking out for best interests of the borough. This isn't just haphazard stuff here, you know.
Can you share the plan with me, then? That's all I ask.
Yeah, save time, right.
Email it to me, whatever.
We're ad hoc. I mean, as far as we go, the biggest one we have is getting ready for 2013. We got to be working on that now. That's big dollars. Right there is the going forward of what we're going to do with the municipal sewer treatment plant. Take it or contract it out. That's a tremendous amount of responsibility and work to be done. That's what I have. That's it, sir.
That's all we need.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is in each of my budget recommendation letters each year, I have kept in there the infiltration and inflow reduction strategies that we should try to do. Some are more costly than others, and much of them don't hit the budget because we just can't afford it. You know, temporary metering, relining, there's many strategies and steps that can be taken to try to reduce the infiltration inflow. My personal opinion is the results never justify the cost. You can spend an awful lot of dollars chasing down infiltration and inflow for a little bit of gain. What we've mapped out in the wastewater management plan, that was your big expense 2 years ago, July of 09, we submitted, still under review. I just attended the hearing last 2 weeks ago in Pohatcong on our plan. We're now reviewing mapping that the state has produced versus what we produce to compare and contrast and address the capacity issues. So the wastewater management plan really spells out the forecast for capacity. The other major expenses are infiltration and inflow reduction, and capital improvements and upgrades and addressing deficiencies in our current system.
I guess, I wasn't here in July 2009, so I don't know about that wastewater plan. So
okay.
Sorry.
No, Janine, there is one other project that we need to discuss, and that's coming up next on the agenda.
Okay.
And then we should be pretty much done with sewer stuff except for updates until Andrew brings back his proposal.
Right. So I guess, well, I'm assuming you're going to talk about that because
yes,
we voted based on the recommendations
yes
last time. So, okay.
Right.
What about the issue with the rainwater where it rains going down West Washington Avenue, where the PNC Bank is? You cannot cross streets there. It is so bad. I mean, what? The 9 years that I know it's existed, it's never been addressed.
The Lincoln intersection?
Storm sewer, I think.
Storm sewer.
Storm sewer.
Yeah.
Lincoln, right. I think that's New Jersey.
Right.
Right in the corner.
That's the one they're saying it's ours and we're saying it's theirs.
Because I live my corner of Washington and Grand, it is so bad there, you can't cross. And it starts by the PNC Bank. So whose responsibility is that?
We're debating that with the state now. They seem to say it's ours. We're saying is there.
Because it's in the right of way.
Because it's in their right of way.
Where the blockage is.
Right.
There's concrete in the pipe, basically.
It seems like
what it is.
Yeah. They wash out their trucks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Holt.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, and we need Mr. Holt for a little while longer. We have our new business, the Quick Check Sewer Connection. Ms. Nicholson?
Mayor, if it's appropriate this time, may I recuse myself?
Possible conflict.
Possible conflict.
Okay.
No offense.
Okay, we have your letter here for the agenda request.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Mayor and council people. I'm Deborah Nicholson representing Quick Check. A couple of years ago, we had a proposal before you because this Quick Check location is on a piece of property that's both in the borough and in the township. The actual Quick Check facility is being constructed on the township portion, and another user, once we get this up and running, will be in the borough. The borough part of the project already has allocation allotted to it. We made a request at that time to see if you would afford us some of your sewer capacity and allocate to us to construct this project with sewer. At that time, our request was denied, and it was understandable. There were some concerns about the governing body taking an action that would perhaps be to the detriment of a local business that might be competing with QuickCheck. However, I'm back here now. We've received the approval from the borough land use board and the township land use board, and this project is what we call shovel-ready. It is going to be built. So irrespective of your protective interests for any of your community businesses, right now it's my contention that if you have some excess capacity and you're willing to accept some of our money as an in lieu of contribution for you benefiting us with this, I don't see a downside to your community. I only see the upside now that all of these approvals have gotten into place and this project is going to be built. However, I have to be candid with you saying that I am here asking you to approve these 2,750 gallons that we will pay for, we'll pay all the fees, plus we'll do negotiated in lieu of contribution, do an agreement with your sewer committee for adoption by the township. But that presupposes that we can get the DEP to work on a time schedule that this can happen. Our project has been approved and gone through both towns with a sewer a septic system in place. So we're looking to get in the ground this summer building this project. So what we did after we had a meeting a week or so ago with your sewer committee is we reached out because Trenton says, we're business friendly now at the DEP, and if you have shovel-ready projects that will create jobs, we have an expedited facilitator individual that's now employed there that will help you get your project through. So he said, okay, let's talk and see, you know, if the DEP really is here to help us. So we called down there and said, we possibly have an opportunity. We'll know more about that on the 19th. If this community was to award us some allocation, what would we have to do to have that approval to make the connection? And they said, oh, yes, we can have you 60 jobs and you're ready to go to construction. You know, we're here to help. And then they called back and they said, well, the timing might not be perfect, but perhaps since your plan is before the DEP, if you had your plan amended, the existing plan, not the new plan that's proposed, that revision to the existing plan could get ahead of the new plan and your timing might work out. So that would mean adding this parcel that adjoins borough property into your existing plan, having the township delete that lot from their existing plan as a revision, which can be done much quicker than an amendment. So they said, we can't promise you, you know, the stars all have to align, but there may be a vehicle that Trenton can use to have this happen. So with that, we're about to go before the land use board and the township to get our final site plan approval. So if you say yes, what we would be doing there is amending our application to have septic or sewer, depending on what the DEP approves within the time frame that we have to get under construction of it. So I want to, you know, disclose to you how much we want to do this. I think it's better ecologically, environmentally for this to be sewer as opposed to septic. But despite all of our best efforts, it still might not happen.
As I remember, Ms. Nicholson, when we, I'm sorry, but,
that's all right.
When we originally denied, we had some question as to whether we had the capacity. Do you remember that?
I
spoke about that.
And we've looked through
that
the build out and talked to your economic development advisor and verified all the numbers, that for this capacity, you do definitely have that, even with giving full allocation to whatever proposed projects you have based on your zoning.
But I do remember that correctly. That was part of it, correct?
I'm not, just not clear. Did you already go to, I know you just had mentioned the township's land use board. Did you go to our planning board?
Yes.
And it was approved?
Yes.
Up to this point now?
I just wasn't sure on that.
So we've gotten all of our local approvals in both communities, and we're very close to the issuance of the final site plan, posting the bonds, and getting building permits. So now this is an 11th-hour situation. We're back here once again saying, I think this makes good logical sense. Would you reconsider?
Does it make, you said there's some incentives for the borough?
Yes.
Okay, can you get specific on that?
We talked to your sewer committee.
The lowest letter here, it has some of it.
About, QuickCheck would be willing to contribute up to $50,000, and in lieu of contribution, that could just buy a whole lot of manhole cover caps.
All right, start the budget.
Yeah, we can't add to the budget.
No, maybe we would just...
Yeah, what's the committee recommend?
Purchase them, have them delivered.
Counselor, maybe I can have your opinion here. I'm just worried about opening the door up to something like this could, in the future, if another entity in the township may want or inquire sewer services, this can pose a problem.
Well, we already serviced the township and the residences in some areas.
Right, yes.
And some other businesses.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
going to be...
The door's already open in that regard?
I just wanted to double check.
Dot my I's, cross my T's.
Thank you, Counselor. But I do have a question. It's based on capacity available, correct?
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. What's based on?
If someone else wants to put something in, wants us to sewer the township, and we say, no, we can base that on available capacity.
We have a fallback. Obviously, you can't supply sewer treatment unless you have the capacity.
Correct.
But, on the other hand, there's always been a long debate about, you know, the present need of a township site for capacity versus the long-term need of the borough for capacity, which
right.
Is,
well,
I
what
think...
What if new borough businesses wanted to come in?
Actually...
Would they not then have capacity because we
yes.
needed it to the township?
No. Actually, according to our redevelopment plan, everything that is in our redevelopment plan has already been, the sewer capacity has been set aside for the redevelopment plan.
Correct.
It's not being used, so if we have, I'm not even going to say a number because people will run with that, but we have excess based on what our redevelopment plan is that we approved.
And one of the further things is the DEP creates numbers for us to calculate our volume. QuickCheck has many, many locations. Never in a day does 2,750 gallons ever end up in a system. So we have the benefit of QuickCheck paying you your sewer fees based on a quantity that we'll never actually ever use. It's most likely going to be...
Well, it depends how they put the pitch of the pipe.
Right.
So let me just get that straight. It's 54,800? Is the amount that...
What, a capacity? No, they're looking
no,
at
the amount of money that's you're offering to the...
$54,000.
Oh, $54,000.
Thank you. She got it, right. Okay.
Right.
All right, listen, since Patrick had to remove himself from the conversation on this, that left me as the sewer subcommittee, and I actually voted for it the last time. I think that the benefit to the borough and to, let's face it, they're going in no matter what. And I think if we can get something out of it, manhole cover, whatever, that would be my recommendation.
That's really, we would like that.
I know that they have to meet and work things out. You know what I mean? But I don't know how that would work if we would go ahead and do this pending.
Right. Basically, what we would be asking for you to pass a resolution authorizing for an allocation of 2,750 gallons per day to be made available pending DEP approval and the sewer agreement being negotiated and implemented between the governing body and QuickCheck. So we would first, you know, work the system through to make sure DEP is on board. And if DEP is on board, and to that degree, we would need to do the revision to your existing plan. QuickCheck would, of course, reimburse you for your costs of your attorney and your engineer to do that appropriate documentation so that could occur. That could occur.
So, Dick, we can have contingencies on our agreement as well, right?
It would be based on Washington Township approving it also.
Yes. Yeah.
Do they have to do anything other than their land use board?
Well, they've got to amend their wastewater
management plan.
Okay.
Yep.
Let me.
It sounds like the advice that they've been given to DEP is DEP is willing to look back in time to expired plans and make revisions to those to be able to authorize this, as opposed to looking at current plans that are now under review, Washington Township being part of the Highlands Plan Conformance process, and that would further slow things down.
So they're looking to try and help. We don't know, so like I said, a lot has to align, but at least there's dialogue there because your new plan hasn't been approved.
Right.
So they feel that they have been revising expired plans on an emergent basis, and that this may be one of those opportunities. May.
Gotcha. So we're hoping for a lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you a policy issue, okay? Normally when we have a connection fee, there is an ordinance that we have that establishes what the connection fees are.
Correct.
Okay? And that is, you can look in a book and you can find that out.
Right.
What's going on here, I think you need to think about it a little bit. Okay, you've got an offer on the table from a property owner in the adjoining township wanting to get into your sewer system, okay? The property owner has come up with what might be a generous offer, I don't know, of 50 grand that you could divide 2,750 and you get how much per gallon they're offering, okay? The question is, and I think you need to think about this, is what is the fair... How do you want to structure this if the next property owner comes along and says, I want it, I want 2,700 gallons, but I only want to pay a 25, or I'll pay 100, or whatever.
Right.
What's your policy going to be in that regard as to what is basically what you're asking for here is a premium? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the taxpayers are taking a slight risk. Okay, I don't think it's, you know, it's been evaluated, so it seems like a reasonable risk. But you're taking a slight risk, and so it does not seem to me to be unfair for the borough to be able to get premium under these circumstances for someone that does not have the right to the capacity, okay? The question is, what's the proper premium, and what do you establish in terms of a policy as to where you're going forward with respect to the calculation of the premium? Because it's important for two levels. Number one, you want to make sure it's fair to the taxpayers. Number two, if the next property owner happens to be, let's say, a church, okay, and the church doesn't want to pay as much, there can be issues having to do with when people are treated differently, and the consequences of that are very bad from your standpoint. So I think if I were you, before I jumped into this thing, I would come up with a policy in terms of what your number is, what's a fair number, and then if that's going to be the number, it should be applied across the board uniformly, regardless of whether the property owner is QuickCheck or a certain particular church or who knows what.
But can't we give preliminary approval pending all of this stuff?
Well, you got to work. You can't.
Pending a policy that, you know, pending DEP, they don't even know if DEP is going to go with it.
Well, you really want to have, in my opinion, you're putting the cart before the horse if
that's
you say it the other way. It seems to me.
How come we didn't know this the last time we voted?
I don't know, Dave, but I didn't know it, to be honest with you.
So you have a policy, you have other out-of-town customers now.
Is there a policy?
There are agreements in place with those out-of-town customers.
What's the hookup cost? Does anybody know?
One's custom.
That's the trouble.
Yeah, well, I need to know that, and I also need to know...
You don't have each one custom, or you shouldn't have that.
What about borough residents? What do we pay now for gallon?
Well, borough residents are a different category.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to set up a different policy.
Standard connection fee.
You're mixing connection fee with contribution.
No, I'm not. That's a separate issue. I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Connection fee, we approved one or two meetings ago.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the per gallon fee.
Is per EDU.
Pardon me?
It's per EDU.
Okay.
How many EDUs did you have? You know right off the top of your head?
No.
$16.44.
Yeah, and what's the fee?
$50,000.
But that's the in lieu of...
No, that's separate.
That's separate.
That's separate.
Pay the connection fee.
Connection and the premium, if you will.
That's separate.
We're going to pay.
I understand that.
Now, look, I mean...
We're just trying to set up an amount.
You know, if you're willing to go with what you have, I mean, you can essentially, 2,700 gallons...
The other basis for that number was the in lieu of contribution for particular system upgrades that might be necessary to accommodate their flow, so...
But that's the third category, Andrew.
Well, that's how we...
Okay, but I mean, that's the third category. That's not a, I got the idea we're talking about a premium as compared to a cost of upgrading the system.
In lieu of.
In lieu of. In other words, the premium is, as I understand it, I may be off base on this. My understanding of the premium is that's the benefit accorded to a non-as-of-right user to come into the system. Somebody in the borough is an as-of-right user. They just ask for it, they get it. They pay the connection fee. But this is a user from township.
Without tax.
Which, and I take it you're telling me that, is that different from the additional work that's going to be generated?
Yeah, and we arrived at this number knowing that recent pump station facility upgrades were already completed, but this would be a contributing amount to offset that cost.
See, what, I think what Dick is looking for is a per cost, per gallon, you know, amount, as if, excuse me.
Either they either contribute towards the upgrade, I'm sorry.
Well, I think we need clarification.
I'm still talking. Forget it. Unbelievable.
When we originally met and discussed this, at the time, this service area was in need of some upgrades. So a part of those original negotiations, we said that we would contribute to that upgrade. That upgrade has now been done so that this flow can easily be handled. We're still willing to contribute as if we paid for that pump station, booster pump station, right, for you, and that's how the number was achieved as something that would make a significant contribution to the community for allowing us in. And that's how the $50,000 number was arrived at.
Well, wait a minute. We're mixing apples and oranges here, though. Are you saying that the upgrade of the pump station, this is needed for this particular project?
It's already
been done. It's already been done.
No, I understand that. But the point is it something that's needed for the upgrade of this particular project?
It would have been, yes.
Okay. So this is not a premium, then. This is simply compensation for upgrading the system in order to be able to accommodate an out-of-town user. That's different from a premium.
That pump station wasn't upgraded just for us. It serves the area.
So there's a percentage of their flow.
All right. Well, okay. I don't care what it is. I'm just trying to get a logic to the thing in terms of an understanding of the thing, of what you're really getting here, whether you're getting what you think you're getting when the $50,000 is there, or whether you're getting something more.
They're not just giving us a gift of $50,000. They're paying for the
capacity,
the upgrade that was done that would help them.
So so you're not getting a premium.
I don't take it as a premium.
I think it's more of an investment. They're investing in the system, I think. It's anything.
All right, well, I mean, look, if you want it, you're getting, it's up to you guys.
This is just a one-time thing, and then you're going to be paying the usage for this, I mean, the regular rates that we charge.
We're going to pay...
On top, so this is separate.
We're going to pay the connection fee. We're going to pay the user fee, plus we're going to pay for something that you've already done, that a portion of that enables this additional capacity to be served in that area.
Okay.
The question is, the next user that comes along, again, I mean, it's like your money, okay, it's not my money. But the next user that comes along, what's the rational approach that you're going to tell them from the township when there's a comparable request?
Let me ask you a question. We did an agreement with the owners of a local strip mall.
Right.
Did they give any contribution? Did they pay for the upgrades of any of the system?
I'm not. Which?
They did.
Okay.
They paid to have the line extended. They paid for the pump. They paid for all of that stuff. Correct.
Seems like that'd be standard.
So I think the logic is basically the same, is that
okay,
we're getting a contribution
for
something.
So what you're saying, Dave, is you're allowing the user to come in from the township as long as they pay for the upgrade costs
that are needed.
Okay, so there's no premium to the township.
No.
No premium to the borough.
No.
To be allowed to come into the system from the outside. Okay, I mean,
Based on the
except for the $4,800 for the sewer
liners. I'm not aware that any other out-of-town user has paid a premium to date.
Okay. Again, it's just a question of what they want and looking forward.
The next user comes in, we're going to tell them we don't have capacity.
Okay. Pick checks being printed.
Okay, so Ms. Nicholson, what you're looking for is council to authorize a resolution to be drafted that would allow the 2750 gallons per day, and you would be willing to pay for the costs of the amendments to the sewer plan and give $50,000 to the borough sewer to offset.
Contingent upon us getting the ability to connect
right.
the sewer.
Provided everybody else gives their blessing.
That's right.
Okay. Would somebody like to make that motion?
Just one clarification, too. You're going to pay the professional fees regardless?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll establish an escrow so that that can all be happening, but as far as the connection fee and the contribution, it will presuppose that we get to connect.
Okay.
Do we need to have
I would
that?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So, I mean, that Andrew, the sewer committee, is sitting on negotiations with them, or are you just going to draft an agreement? Or would you draft the agreement?
Yeah, we can draft the agreement, or council can draft the agreement, and I'll approve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have an agreement, I think.
Yeah.
You have to have an agreement to regulate the escrow. They're going to want to know.
Along with that, pending DEP's approval, pending the approval of the approval of the agreement by the council.
Correct.
Right.
Subject to the resolution would be the agreement, essentially.
No.
No.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying a written agreement.
Okay.
Like a developer's agreement.
We're pre-approving it, but we can ultimately.
You're approving the concept.
Yes. Thank you.
One question on fees and the usage. Someone coming from outside the borough, do they pay the same fee as someone living in the borough?
Yeah. The connection fee you're talking about.
No, he's talking about the rate.
Right.
The
EDU rate is established.
EDU rate is the same. Yeah. Isn't there 15%?
Well, maybe we can add a contingency to include that $4,800.
No, there isn't.
If her bosses approve that, you know, to make the number the real 54,800 instead of 50,000, we could propose a resolution like that, and then have that taken care of as well.
I think the sewer committee will negotiate, but I make that motion,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Mrs. Detlef, you had a question?
Yeah, I just was curious. Are you going to pump gas at this site?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that going to have any effect at all on the sewer problem at all? When they start cleaning the gas?
Well, let's put it this way. If they have a problem with their gas, DEP is going to take care of it, and then they're going to be responsible for any infliction it causes on our treatment plant.
And
they're well aware.
And the mayor has already created underground an entire capture system if there is an accidental spill so that it wouldn't get to your
sources.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's a similar facility in Independence Township.
Yeah.
There's one in Hackensack as well,
yeah.
I was just going to say.
Independence Township.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Is there any other discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I'll let you know how we're doing with DEP.
we have to set a meeting date then. I don't know how you would want to do that if you would send it through Andrew. For you to set the date, then Andrew, you just contact us and say, can you make this date?
Right. Okay. That brings us to approval of the shared service agreement for the library director services between the Borough of Washington and the Washington Borough Board of Education. So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Reva?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 78-2011, cancel a municipal tax lien. So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Reva?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Flores?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Then we have Resolution 81. Pat, I'm sorry, we should have
waited
for you. I got ahead of myself.
Don't even worry about that.
Resolution 81-2011, authorizing the approval of the developers agreement with Jade Developers.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Just for clarification and things of that nature, throughout the document where we're saying borough engineer, we're talking about Andrew, correct, not planning board, when it's references borough engineer? Which engineer are we talking about?
Andrew.
It is Andrew? Okay.
That's it?
Well, no, I got a couple things here. I'm just starting with the dumb ones and trying to get to the good ones.
Okay.
Page 4, number 11. Like the second sentence, Board of Education vehicles, that they're allowing a permit. What exactly is that referencing, Board of Education vehicles? Are they school buses?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a possibility that we would have to have school buses in our...
No, they're just allowing it in should there be a need for one. Let's say there was a special needs child who needed transportation.
Very good. Page 5, item number 16, the parentheses, accept the final course of payment. That might be pavement. Is that right? Is that a typo?
I think that's right.
Okay. And my last one, page 16, the whole resolution. I'm just curious as to where we are with the COA permit contribution, what dollar amount we may be at, if that hasn't even gotten that far yet.
I believe the state did not approve that, correct? It's the contribution, Ray?
Well, there's still some discussion going on.
I'd like to reapproach the state if we could, I think.
In all of that, Assemblyman DeMeo has proposed an amendment so that if you meet your COA obligations, that you don't have to build COA on a new development, and you can accept in lieu of type of contribution.
Right.
That has not been approved yet, as I understand.
Right. I talked to Assemblyman DeMeo, I don't know how long ago you spoke to him.
It's been a while since I spoke to him about that.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone a while back, along with something else, and he said, from what he can gather, the opinion down there is going to be probably the same. They're probably going to deny this. I would hope they would approve it, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, and things are such mess with COA right now. They're half-funded for next year, I've been told in the budget. COA may or may not exist next year. You know, its death has been predicted 3 or 4 times. So the Supreme Court has reviewed, or it's reviewing an important appellate division decision having to do with the whole gross share.
Right.
So it's just in such flux.
And the biggest problem is really the other areas of New Jersey that are hurting us, because they may not have a surplus of COA. We do.
Yep.
So they look at the bigger picture.
Yep.
They don't include us in that picture. And that's really what the man was getting at. I think
the
opinion down there is not to go forward with that.
Page 5, number 16 again. Now, I was on the planning board with some of these discussions way back when. The one question I still have is where it says the sidewalk along Route 57 is fully and properly installed. Is that running all the way down past the culvert, the sidewalk?
I believe there's talks of improvement to that culvert sidewalk, correct, Ray, when I was on the planning board?
Yeah, let Ray address that.
Yeah.
Good evening. Ray Rice, managing member of Jade Acquisition LLC. And actually, that call right there is referencing to a condition that we have to install the balance of the sidewalk. The sidewalk right now is actually fully installed on our property as it fronts on Route 57. One of the conditions that's actually contained in the developer's agreement is that we have to have the continuation, which would be from our most western boundary, proceeding all the way down to that culvert that you're talking about,
okay,
that the balance of the sidewalk would be installed.
Okay.
And actually, we're getting ready to do that shortly.
Very good.
Good.
My last one, I'm sorry, I just...
No, that's okay.
Page 16, which actually is, again, on that resolution. First bullet point number one, where it says $230,000 to the borough for its recreation fund. We're talking trust fund here?
As I understand it, yes.
Yeah, we might want to just add, I mean, just so we know, it's the trust fund.
I can't. That's the planning board resolution.
Yeah.
I can't control that. Yeah, the planning board has to change that.
Can we get that back to make sure? Because I don't want to have anything misinterpreted. Are we just going to assume that those monies are definitely going into the trust fund?
Well, recreation, if I recall correctly, it should be dedicated to recreation.
Well, I think there's other places in this document that say recreation program. I just want to make sure, are we talking the same language, that those monies will be going into the trust fund of recreation?
That's a council decision, whether it goes into the recreation.
That's a council decision that is in a
planning board resolution. But that's the planning board's resolution.
Wow. Okay.
So we can send it back, is what you're saying, right, Patrick? Are you asking? I mean,
that's a resolution that was passed in...
October
2010.
Can be amended, though.
Well,
we still have to vote on it.
You know, you don't have to vote. Planning board voted. This is attached to the planning board. I mean, I don't know. Somebody could petition the planning board to clarify that. But I think
because they use it in different ways. In fact, even on page 11, they're saying recreation program. Then they're saying recreation fund.
Right.
You know, just uniformity. Just be careful that we're all talking that these monies have to go into the recreation trust fund.
The answer is, I suspect that the planning board was not sensitive to the issue that you're bringing up, Pat.
Okay.
And it was not something that they was on their radar screen. I'm sure it wasn't on the applicant's radar screen. So I think the issue is, once the money comes in, I don't think the planning board has the power to control exactly where the money goes, whether it goes in the trust fund or whatever.
True.
I think that's a governing body decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sensible way to look at it is, when the money becomes available, then the governing body can deal with that issue. I think that's the better way to do it. And
that.
I think the drafting issues you brought up are good issues, but
okay.
You know, this is a resolution of approval.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
One other typo that I picked up here, in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 whereas clause, second line, first page, sixth whereas clause, the one that begins, whereas Jade received preliminary approval, right after the September 13th, 2010 date, it should be for, not or, I think. See where it says for construction, a minor thing.
Oh, yeah.
I just happened to notice it as we're sitting here.
What page are you on there?
First page. On the our resolution 81-2010,
right.
The
sixth
one,
whereas.
1, 2, 3, 4,
oh, okay.
Five.
It's
just
four,
a typo. There's an F
yep.
missing there.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, this is, again, I'm sorry, it's a side issue, side question, rather. How much of the property is actually in the township versus the borough? Is there a little...
It's all in the borough.
The whole thing is...
Entirely
in the borough. I thought that little tiny piece at the end was... But no.
No.
So just,
I still own that. That's in
the
borough.
Yeah, this agreement doesn't cover that.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That's fine.
Mayor, did you address the hydrant issue I brought up to you about the development
yep.
with the storage connections and the signs?
Yeah.
Okay.
The information you gave me was
yeah,
more
okay.
just curiosity
okay.
For my part than anything else.
Okay.
Well, actually, that's been, just so you know, that's been incorporated into the conditions that were in the approval.
Very good.
And it's reflected on the plan sets.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on this.
Okay.
Well.
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Sure.
Leva?
Epstein.
Joel?
Yes.
Torres?
Okay.
Valentine?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The only other thing that I would tell you, which is a piece of good news, there are actually 14 units on the contract now.
Good job.
Which is kind of exciting.
Good. So you got a couple right now completions.
Congratulations. I'm sorry?
So you got some completions over here. It looks pretty good so far.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's going to be an exciting job for the borough, and I appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to move the project
forward. When do you anticipate the first people moving in?
You know, that I don't know, but, it, you know, 60, 90 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you very much.
They won't be there for the ribbon cutting.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Ray.
Bye. Okay, that brings us up to our vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the vouchers.
Second, we do have to pull one. It's on page 2, and it's purchase order 11-00389. That one will be taken off.
What was the number again?
Why? 11-00389 is
Council
Yeah, for Ann Kilbrow.
Okay.
Okay, any questions, discussion on the vouchers?
I had a question that I had asked the Richard, and he did respond back. Did everybody get a copy of that, Rich?
Yes.
The hard copy? So.
Oh, with the hard, they got to be emailed.
Be emailed, so I asked about the band principal, what was being paid through that, and he gave me a list of everything that was paid through that from 2001, or the bond. I said band, I meant bond, general bond.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Again?
Yes, on everything except the fire department, with an extension there.
Boyle?
Yes.
Leva? Yes, the same page 9, Fennell. Cool.
Everything except rescue squad and fire department.
Flores?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. Okay, then we have the sewer vouchers.
Well, maybe it might have just been stapled.
Okay.
Did we separate them in the package?
Okay.
It's all part of the same bill.
In that case, never mind. We don't need that. Mr. Torres gave us some information on the Recreation Commission. What I would recommend is that we put that on for the council, the next council agenda. Give us a chance to.
That's fine. It'll take some time to do it this way. Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
And I understand the Rec Committee itself has some comments that they're going to have ready for us at our next meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we can have that all together then.
Yeah.
Recap, Mr. Phelan, what do we have on your list of things to do?
I will contact Veolia and issue the contract for the manhole inserts for $100 each. $100 at $48 each. Excuse me. Aside from that, there's not much on the recap today.
Okay. Council remarks. Councilman Torres, I'll start with you today.
Don't start with me. I have no other comments. So just
leave it.
Two things. One is a thank you for whoever replaced the flag in the center of town there.
Yeah, look at
that.
That
was bid.
That was a bid?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's, those
put
things are noticed, though. Let them know that we appreciate them doing that. And then also, does anyone know the history why, kind of doing this as a resident, I asked Christine, what happened to the wood chip program? Why we don't do that anymore? A resident could pay a dollar and then, when we go through and...
Oh, you can go get a truckload of wood chips?
A truckload of wood chips for a dollar, and I came in to do that. And so I was wondering why we don't do that anymore, and can we start doing that? And
I don't know about it, but I'd be very careful about the wood chips.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I don't think we had very much demand for it, if it ain't.
I don't know.
I was just looking for the history.
I don't know why we stopped. I do know that DEP regulates it. You're required to get a recycling permit from the state, and then it's highly restrictive on what you can and can't do. That could have been the reason, but not being here when they stopped, and I can't answer it specifically.
Okay.
Anything else?
Because we sold our chipper. Our chipper broke, so we don't chip anymore.
Oh, we don't even chip anymore.
I mean, that's...
Well, when they come this week, what did
we have a chipper.
Yeah, when they come this week...
Chipper's broke. Oh.
No, we have a chipper.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. It was the week for picker up.
Because I got stuff to be picked up.
Oh, the week for?
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right.
Anything else, Mrs. Gleeson?
That's it, thanks.
Okay, Mr. Valentine?
No.
Mr. Jewell? Good job to the sewer committee. I like the report. I like the positive feedback and the ideas. Hopefully we get this stuff on the roll from people in Gardner's Court. Good job to the road department. I see they did a lot of work out there to clean the streets. It's starting to get done. Spring is here. And a bid also for replacing the flag. I think she's done. But I got a lot of positive feedback from some veterans I talked to. And I wish everybody happy Easter and the holiday season where we celebrate.
Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, I just have a question. Are we going to have any other committees? I know that, you know, we put that flyer out for who want citizens that wanted to be on it. But I think that we at least need a roads committee or a streets committee, at the very least. Because we need, listen, I think we need a planning committee, too, because we have, you heard the freeholder talk about a five-year plan. We've been talking, we need a five-year plan. We need to start planning to get things done once we start climbing out of this hole.
Agreed.
Okay. So do you want to sign a streets committee and a planning committee or whatever?
We took streets off?
It's been so long ago, I
apologize, I didn't hear your question.
Robert, did we take, there's no more streets committee?
Right now, we're still waiting to, you know, approve whatever committee. So as far as I know, there's no committee to approve.
Let's put that as an agenda item for the next meeting. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
That's good to me. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, thanks.
Mr. Boyle?
Thank you.
Oh?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Usually you wait until Pat starts.
Andrew, I'm glad you're still here. You were going to give us an update on the crosswalk.
I was.
You were. You're still here.
You still like that?
Real quick.
Real quick.
Give us the Reader Digest version.
Online. It doesn't work.
It's currently not functioning because one of the four bollards that's set when a pedestrian walks between it is loose. And when it can't make contact with the bollard across from it, it goes into error mode and flashes continuously. That's why we have it turned off right now. Until that bollard. Last fall, DPW repaired it with like a sheet metal screw, and it was fine. But in the winter, either sports of snow or a snow blade itself actually hit it, struck it, it's loose again. So bottom line is, my opinion is, the bollards that sense pedestrians are not the right application for Washington Borough. You have snow every winter. When the snow plows, plow snow, and the snow sticks to the bollard, it goes off all the time. I looked into retrofitting that system that you have to turn it into a push-button actuated system where a pedestrian walks up with a sign and pushes a button, that'll make it go off. That would be a little more reliable, less problematic than these sensors. But my estimate, and I would defer to an electrician who maybe gives us a better number, is that would be on the order of about $3,250 to retrofit that. We have to buy the push-button system, install a new pedestal, and wire it. The other option I came up with is you could physically repair that bollard that's damaged, put it back in service until it gets damaged again.
Hold on. If the whole problem is just realigning these bollards and making them permanently not, I mean, how about crazy glue?
It's kind of what we did last time.
Okay, and so you can't permanently fix these things so that they're aligned?
They're not.
Unless we can permanently keep the snow in the snow.
They're exposed to the snow and the plowing.
And drivers and everything. I mean, they're dangerously close to the road anyway. So.
Plus, you need to go to the track.
It's a lot of money.
Continuing the vibration there, and I'm sure that affects it also.
So you could repair it, but I'm just saying that may be an ongoing situation.
I understand.
Right.
I see people crossing north
of it, or east of it, or west of it.
They're too stupid,
something.
Yes.
There
ought to be a sign. Cross here, idiot.
They're toxic.
Mrs. Sloan, you can't legislate intelligence, unfortunately. Or make them obey a sign like that.
But I know you mean. I see people crossing
by the gym or whatever, like further down further. Yeah.
They're right next to it. They use the cobblestones that are there, which is a good thing. Really,
it's
a demarcation that this is a special area. But then they walk.
I see people constantly. They'll say, "Caution, do not enter," and go right through it and not think twice about it.
I'm not saying that, but just an example.
Stone.
Well,
they'd ignore it.
Unless you understand that principle, they're just going to...
That thing hasn't worked since we put it in. Why don't we just take it out, get those old plastic signs that say crossing? You know, because, I mean, we're just going to keep on throwing money into that and the thing is a mistake to begin with.
What do those signs cost, Mr. Manager? About $45 a piece?
Yeah,
I'd have to check, but every time we put one up, they get stolen.
They get stolen.
Are there cameras that are in that area, though, not the city of Dillon, I think?
But are they good enough to pick up who could be stealing, or?
I have to check.
Borrowing or something?
Apparently needed more, but every time we put up there, it gets taken down.
Yeah. They must need it more than we do, somehow.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, thank you.
Mr. Boyle?
Thank you, Mayor. Now that we've got the budget underway, I'd like to know what's our target date to start moving forward this forensic audit? Where we at?
The paperwork after council's discussion last meeting was sent down to the state.
All right.
Sent it via email in writing, and I know it's on the Director of Local Government Services desk, but I haven't received any response from them yet. I spoke with their office Thursday, and they hadn't made a determination.
Okay, once you get their determination and it's, say it's green light, go forward. How far after that do you believe to get this thing implemented?
The next council meeting.
Next council meeting.
The attorney is working on the contract.
Well, the
next council meeting after approval, not in 2 weeks.
So,
if they approve it next week, theoretically.
So, Dick, are you waiting to, from the state before you can?
No, we're working on that. We'll have that for your next meeting.
Oh, okay.
And then obviously, you know, because we don't want to hold you back.
Understood. All right, thank you.
Okay. And I have nothing, the stuff that the freeholder gave me, I will put downstairs for anybody to review at their leisure. Feel free to make copies if you would like it. That's all I have. I accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Hey, Chris.
Steve.
Okay.
Listen, I don't know. I just have a hard time following you here. You know what I mean? You're not a Chris.
I know.